it's part two of Living Shore October 2025. If you missed the first part, check it out on soundsmint.co.uk.
Next up, I've got a gentleman who come up to me. I don't want to slight his name. He's Charles. Charles, it's your turn. Can we have a round of applause for Charles, please?
This is an effort to describe how embarrassment and shame control people much more even than the police or the judicial system or whatever. It's called Your Embarrassment is Silent. Your embarrassment is silent and we shouldn't mention it. We try not to give ourselves away, but we just can't help it. Misfits who sing out of tune, speak out of turn. Society holds together like a well-drilled choir's polyphony. Our voice leading falls apart like the sound of metal scaffolding crashing. We call naff singers, naff telly, great or fantastic, lacking the so bad that it's good irony required in polite society. As if dropping vases that fragment over the owner's white tiles. Our shame mitigates nothing. We can enjoy your party, or our asinine jokes pretend we do. A self-confident incompetent makes chic souls cringe quietly. We still try to smile like actors who've dried, but quiver inside. We know the polite brush-off is coming. I like you, but we know we won't get invited back. Solidarity between us won't work. We spot foot-in-mouth disease a mile off and avoid each other. We'd love not to spoil your party, but please forgive us when we do.
So if you've been to Living Shore before, you will have met Marie.
I'm founder and director of Inshore Good Neighbours, so if you are from Living Shore, you know of that one. I'm creative lead on a project with Manchester Local Community Organisation. It's about the health matters of Living Shore, and there are five main themes of health. And they asked me to put together some monologues after some extensive interviews. So I've spoken to 140 people about their heart disease, about diabetes, about dementia, about their feelings on vaccines, lots of conversations. An adult granddaughter, early 40s, reflecting on the last few years of caring for her grandma Sylvie and the impact it's had on her life and her family. Sylvie was my world. Although a bit off the wall and dead eccentric, she loved to bathe in awkwardness. It was her game. It was our game. It made her laugh. And I think it took me a while to see her decline because her awkward antics covered it. We went to the clinic for a shingles jab and she was telling the nurse she was far too young for a shingles jab. And it was that nurse who said Sylvie should book an appointment to see the GP. She saw something in Sylvie I couldn't see. My grandma Sylvie was diagnosed with dementia. And at first, she was pretty healthy all round and still walked everywhere and life was good for her. And she loved nothing more than a coffee and a good old people watch at the Cossabin Civic and a weekend mooch around the charity shop in Hill Green. We used to call that her Saturday job. And then simple stuff got difficult for her. Getting dressed, doing a zip up on her jacket, using the phone, that sort of thing. And then she stopped loading a weekly wash. And that was like a bit of a red flag for me. She was so personable, our Sylvie, and looked after herself, you see. And then this one time, we bumped into each other in the hallway, and Sylvie giggled and she said, "Let's do a selfie in the mirror, girl." And there we were, side by side, looking in the mirror together. It was a moment, you know. And I squeezed her shoulder and I kissed her on the forehead, and Sylvie said, "Well, I know you, but who's that other woman that you're with?" And that's why I refer to her as Sylvie all the time. For me, it was like saying, "I see you, love, I do. And I recognise you, Sylvie." Do you get what I mean? Sylvie fainted one evening and we called an ambulance. And whilst the paramedic was treating her, he asked if we had any help with Sylvie. And he mentioned Dementia UK and Apple Nurses. First I'd heard. And that's how Louise came into our lives through Dementia UK. She was our admiral nurse. Well, is, because we still chat to her. And we discovered the best way to live in harmony with our Sylvie was to go with the flow and to not challenge her memories. Wasn't all plain sailing, though. It got quite tough for us. You see, I live in Bolton, and it's Sylvie who lives here in Wythenshawe all her life. And it was important she stayed in her community, for that took its toll on us as a family. We had lots of challenges with her health and then the chest infection. But it was so good to talk to someone who had experience in all the randomness of dementia. And Louise would visit Sylvie, and there were the online chats with us. And she seemed to know where all the local help was too. There's no such thing as a deaf question, she'd say. And she helped us as a family navigate our next steps every day. Being in hospital was awful because it was a time when there was very few beds available and Sylvie was parked in the corridor. And that was heartbreaking, I can tell you. And that's when we moved her in with us. Louise gave us valuable advice about financial and legal issues and reminded me that emotional support was available for all of us. And I needed to know that. My advice to anyone listening to this who may be in a similar situation is ask for help. Contact Dementia UK. Contact any community group that you know. I miss my Sylvie. We all do. But along with Louise, she taught us so much about real communication. You know, when to touch, when to squeeze an arm, stroke a face, and listen out for what's not being said. And the value of silence. Yeah, she was well loved, our Sylvie. We're much better people for living through dementia with her. That was lots of people's reflections about looking after someone with dementia. So it's sort of all put together into one character.
Next up, we've got Layla. I always put her on after the anonymous slots because she once was an anonymous slot and now she comes up and I love it and it makes me really proud of her. So can we have a round of applause for Layla?
Hi, I'm Layla. I write all kinds of things, poetry, stories, music. I'm going to read two pieces that I've wrote. One of them does mention abuse, not so much the actual abuse, but if I'm just giving trigger warning for anybody in case you've been through something and you're not ready. Petty, defenseless, holding up the inner me, clenching, using my fists as my own personal fences, they kept me safe. I told myself all these years they keep me safe. It's okay to guard you. To put those inner fences up. Nobody can get in this way. That is the best way to be. You can tell me it is weak, all you want to do this, but it is keeping me safe. You don't know what petty and defenseless even means. You haven't heard the inner screams that came and went. Who are you to tell me that guarding myself is weak? You cannot feel and see all that I went through with the inner and outer me. Who are you to tell me? I have lived my whole life clenching my jaw, my teeth imprinted into one another from the bottom to the top. Call it petty and defenseless, but it kept me safe. Tell me to get over all of what I have been through when you know my inner screams, my inner pains. Call me all the names under the sun, but have you lived life in my shoes? Have you been inner tormented and vacant all your life from the disgusting actions of somebody's precious, loving, heartfelt child? The enemy whispering, that woman's poor child, all they must have went through. They never meant to hurt me. They were just being kind. They were just having fun. Petty, defenseless me. Holding up the inner me, bearing the weight, the baggage of the hurt caused to me. But it is okay, because they were just being kind. They were just having fun. The fixtures, the moulding of you and me, do you not see that you are just like me? Do you not see the you in me? The mirror of yourself when you look at me. I am everything you are or that you have been. Everything I express is because I have been in the depths. I have been in the trenches of the deep, dark, muddy, thick shit. I have been there. I have done that, and I still do, from time to time. There is nothing that I have been through that does not speak through what I rhyme. Through the deepness that I express in everything that I write and share, is because I have been the person, the one with the glassy stare. I have been deep in the pits of the darkest, scary mess. I have had to call out for help and been the one with an indescribable weight on my chest. I have been the one sludging through all of the mess that all the people in my life had made, that I have sat there and blamed all my family, my friends, and the relationships that I was in, and how horribly I was betrayed. I have been the one who sat there and did nothing but point fingers at the people in my life. I have kneeled and cried that everyone by my side did not have my side. I have been furious and frustrated because of my childhood wounds, but eventually I had to move through them and change the story to new news. There is only so long that we can stay in the hurt. If I had stayed in it any longer, I would have needed more than God's church. The walls would not have been mosaic, they'd have been whitewashed and clean. There is only so long we can stay in the depths of the unseen. We have to feel all of what we have been through and acknowledge it in the ways we can. Admittance and healing through it is where your soul will dance. Feel it, heal it, release it, and continue until you know there is no need for it no longer. This is not to say that what we've been through means any less in any way. This means we are here for a bigger purpose, and it is time to let our souls lead the way.
We also have TikTok, so if you're on TikTok, we're Living Show. We're also on Instagram. I feel like no one follows us. The reason to follow us is not because I want more followers, it's because we don't just post our own events, we post other things that are going on in the community. It's sort of a bit of a hub, and it's a really easy way to contact us if you want anything. Next up we have got Lucy, are you ready? Lucy is multi-talented, so she's a singer and poet, and she's also, are you a primary school teacher?
I am.
Yes.
Okay, so my poetry and spoken words a bit chaotic, because my brain's a bit chaotic. So I'll just do like four pieces, but most of them are quite short because I never get them finished. My friend once said to me, who has also got ADHD, that ADHD is just a fuckload of unfinished business. And that is me. So just bear with me a second. Corrupt. So corrupt that it's us that makes the world go round. By driving trucks, selling milk, emptying the bins and the muck put on this earth by those higher up. So corrupt that without these honest workers, the world would stop. Yet you're paid the pennies if you hold the mop. The rich puppeteers hold the gears. They press the green for go and the red for stop. Unlike Geppetto, who was dream-making, running an honest shop. They own the concrete. They're watching every street. And God forbid that you have an extra room in your home, which means that week you don't get to eat. The perpetual churn of work and earning, all to decide which urn we end up in. The lad that sits outside Tesco just had to choose between food and booze. He chose the latter, because fuck it, both will make him fatter. At least now he won't remember how the pavement feels beneath his temple. He might be able to sleep tonight without feeling so fearful. Okay. I'll also talk her up. This next one is called Nowhere Station, if I can find it. This one's about being... like, you're not sad, but you're not happy. Have you ever been in those feelings where you're overwhelmed but also mellowed? It's not the same as that point years ago where you were so down that you didn't want to go out. But it's not the same as the feeling you get when everything couldn't be better and you're smiling up at the August sun. It's an in-between, not dull, but both sides want to be heard and seen. The happiest moments are overshadowed by the heartbreaking realisation that takes you right back to that nowhere station. Have you ever been in those feelings where you succeed and make that somebody proud, but then all of a sudden a glass smashes and your earth shatters, and then you're right back on the ground? The good outweighs the bad, but the bad outweighs the good. Sadness always overcomes. It's easier to accept the badness. It's always glass half full, but then you spill some. How do you explain this yo-yo emotion that leaves you feeling numb? At least you're feeling something, so you carry on and pretend that you've won. Have you ever been in those feelings where you know that what goes up must come down? You know that you've got to tap to the same beat and hum to the same sound. Keep pedalling forward down that road and you can see the potholes, but you can't stop. The brakes are gone, so you keep spinning on your soles. Tire screeching, engine light on, but you can see the rising of the sun right there. It's in the reflection. It's the glimmer of your destination. And then I'll do one more. This one is one I wrote today. This one's called Tattoo. If our story was a fairy tale, they say we've met on the dance floor by the village oak tree. The chapters that sent us there, they differ but they don't compare. Our blurbs have similar words typed up that briefly explain the main events, describe the stage and the fireworks that all work up to this moment. Our lives have in fact been parallel, dramatic in the same key, same day, same show and tell. Friends of friends and acquaintances. I know that name, but I'm better off with faces. Imagine sharing that the beginning of our story started with an Airways chuddy. It's all in the premise and making of this story. No numbers exchanged, but we didn't have love as the same strong, persistent endgame back then. Who cared how long it would take, days or weeks? There was never a for fuck's sake. Until the walls were privy to our conversation, the air changed, thick but untouchable. A shadow backdoored it, never to be seen again, she thought. Until a week on Friday. Their eyes met, the palms begin to sweat, the hair stuck up on their arms and the back of their necks. The presence of him was a safety net that she didn't expect. The blood rushed to heart and brain, agreed on all aspects, both aligned on the same plane. They both knew to mark the occasion with a permanent tattoo. Forever is what they implied. Forever is what they implied. Forever is what they implied, although yet not yet solidified. Lives yet still to be intertwined. Until that taste of the Miss You Blues had travelled through and made the nervous system a full body of soup, leaking into their minds. This is forever. I love you.
Megan, are you getting up?
Yeah.
Come on, then. Round of applause for Megan, please. Megan's my best friend. That's my best friend.
I'm going to sit down because I've got a chest infection and I had a full tin of corned beef before I came out tonight and I ate it with a spoon because I'm feeling a bit depressed. So I don't know if I'm going to be sick or I'm going to cough up a lung. So yeah, this is me. And here's a poem. This is how I show my grief. I fake my grin through gritted teeth. I bite down hard till my skull starts shaking, and all the while my thoughts are quaking. I make my way through lonely weeks, and I'm learning to practice what I preach. My eyes meet yours, and I'm looking engaged, yet deep in my soul burn the fires of rage. I nod, I smile, joy almost passable. I try to come across a little bit more palatable, certainly affable and feeling like an old pal. Tell me all your secrets, worry me more. Expect them kept safe within the clenching of my jaw. The tightness in my fists, the tension in my shoulders, turns into a tendency to claw myself into intricate webs of shit. Help me out, I can sharpen my wit. And don't you dare say you don't fucking love it. In this cubicle, I've slid down doors. In that kitchen, I've worked on floors. You're the reason, but you're not the cause. Grief holds the key to the secrets at my core. Denial was a river I swam in at night, looping loops, jumping hoops, treading deadly rumination inside. Grief is a locked window, but it's not a door. you've got to keep smashing yourself through it. It's not about you anymore. Let me bargain with you, like in a bazaar or a souk. I'm trying to hold on to myself while I'm being flogged 3 for 2. Staying true to myself while being flaky with you. Tell me what I'm supposed to fucking do. Am I doing it wrong? Is this grief alright? How long will it last? Will I make it through tonight? Is my obvious pain just a stain to you? I look in the mirror and don't have a clue. Depression confined me to the prison of my bed, but it didn't define me, and what I do does instead. My people love me and I love them back, and I'm learning to accept that you're never coming back. I'm putting on my wings and I'm brushing my hair. I find myself laughing, but it don't mean I don't care. Love will always be in my heart, and it's what it's made of. Accepting you're gone is my new job, or lack thereof.
I'm gonna do one now. We are a product of our environment, so everyone you've ever met is part of you. Even the ones you don't like, unfortunately. They are. So with that in mind, every single person that you've lost is still with you every single day, because they change something that you say, a mannerism that you do, something that you might wear or not wear. I can't believe we've got classics on. But we are all of them, and they're still here. And this is what I'm phone's about. So it's called Ghosts. Ghost. My mother is a ghost, floating through this life and the next. She's protective, fierce and loyal, but she's also fucking vexed. My cousin is a ghost, though I've not seen him yet. I feel his watching presence, he's plotting, I can bet. My nana is a ghost, she's got nothing else to do than watch over her grandchildren, comfort them through colds and flu. My friend is a ghost, she sends messages through song, she still laughs at all our jokes and supports us right or wrong. My granddad is a ghost, honestly I think he's just lost his way. He's looking for his favourite pub, it's been knocked down, so he's astray. My dog is now a ghost. She didn't see it coming. Oh. Death by lava lamp, who'd have thought? At least it was painless and sudden. I'm never quite alone, even if I feel it deeply. I'm surrounded by spirits, they nourish me and feed me. Tis the season, veil is thin, the conjuring up plans to let us know they're still around, whether it's through noises or held hands. I've many noises tonight. Do you ever get that feeling when you're having a bad day? A warm embrace that you can't explain. That's your ghosts and here they stay. Love outlives death. We know this. Grief is evidence of that. So what makes you think they'd disappear and just leave you just like that? Not all of them have a choice because their calling is elsewhere. But if there's unfinished business and with you, believe me, they're there. Thank you. Next up we've got Yasmin. I'm excited to hear what you've got because I love this character. Round of applause for Yasmin, please. As she makes her way to the stage. Yasmin's been to the show before, so if you've not seen her in person.
A bit more nervous now, you've picked me up a little bit. But hi everyone, I'm Yasmin. Recently I joined a group called Socialists for Animal Liberation, and being around like-minded people really kind of inspired me to write this down. So this one's called Pigeons. If we were born a bird, we'd probably be a pigeon, scraping on by with inner city living, trying to make a home as we wander the streets, fighting class war with our feathers and beaks. We'd never be a swan protected by the queen, because royalty's never really done much for people like you and me. Once an airborne mailer, navigating bombs, our saviour. Now generations later, people are fined, forgiven of the crumbs from pasties and pies. They say they're rats with wings because they don't tweet and sing. But why would we want to sing when pigeon spikes are still a thing? When a pigeon shits on you, it's supposed to bring good luck. But I see it as a symbol that unifies us in a way, because each of us gets shat on every single day. So next time you see our feathered friends, remember you're alike. We weren't all born as cockatoos, so together we fight the same fight. Oh, we've got some pigeon fans in the house for that. This next one's a bit of a heavier one. If anybody's lost anyone recently, just feel free to go out the room for the next minute because I wouldn't want to trigger anything that you weren't ready to feel tonight. But this one, it's about losing friends too soon and having to kind of carry on with your life or trying to carry that ongoing burden of their absence. So this one is called Absence. You can feel it at every special occasion. Weddings, birthdays, baby showers. All the moments I so want to be present, sharing the joy and counting my blessings. But instead, I feel your absence. Amplified by the reality that you won't get to see this. Not that specific moment, but all the moments and what they mean to you. You'll never get your wedding day had you chosen to get married, nor will we share cake at one of your big birthdays or roll telling tales of our feral youth. Instead, I am blessed with your absence. Not meaning to disrespect the moment or forget the fact that I got to live, so I owe it to you to do it well. But as I was once blessed to have you, I am now blessed with this absence. So for every happy moment I have, there's a little bit of happiness I just can't feel, a little bit of happiness that I hold back, because that is my forever gift to you. And this one's a positive one, so I'll move us on to a positive place now. This one's just about how much I bloody love living up north. And it's called It's Sweet Up North. I love living in this dirty old town. Red bricks, broken flags and the sirens around. Chatty mums with double buggies wearing see-through leggings, and Dave's heading to the pub because Tina's doing his head in. Now we see the chunky dogs getting walked past nine, because being an exo-bully is now seen as a crime. Youths on e-scooters show respect with a sign, and everywhere I go around here I go with a smile. Through the cracks we grow flowers, within the people there's power, and we let on to strangers in the street. We won't let it turn sour by the inner city towers, and we'll keep on dropping our teas, because it's sweet. And this is the final one I'm going to do, and it's about food poverty, because that's something I'm quite passionate about, amongst other things. And I've written this because it's 2025 and people are still grafting their asses off and struggling to put food on the table, and I just don't get it, because in the UK, we've got enough food to feed everyone. It's just, we need to decide if we want to feed people, because that's the real question. So this is called Hungry for Change. Compliments to the chef, to the ones who create family meals for £3 a day. Knowing a spoon of curry powder can turn baked beans into something gourmet. Chasing yellow stickers down the whoopsie aisle. Finding branded yogurts for 20p to make the kids smile. Compliments to the chef who grew on our lands before. The 1600s diggers cultivated land to feed the poor. With the rising cost of food, they laboured their own corn before a law was passed to criminalise their cause. Compliments to the chef, to the ones who run zero waste cafes, pay as you feel to take this meal and keep landfills away. But stopping waste doesn't start here, it starts along the chain, when a fifth of veg won't make it to store because of its cosmetic display. Compliments to the chef who builds a longer table and not a higher fence, cooking free communal meals and letting the feast commence. Compliments to the chef, which I know I've said before, but UK food poverty is system made, so I'll leave you that food for thought. Thank you.
So this is called What We Voted For. So I hope that you've noticed them chatting. They tell us that we're broke, but still find a tax to flatten. Talk of incentive or growth or boost to the nation, but it's just another loophole in a rigged corporation. See, when we were in the EU, there was someone keeping score. They could storm in, knock on and say, oi, what's that tax dodge for? They made Apple pay billions, made Amazon squirm, because fair play would be law, not just a passing term. Now, can anyone here give me a benefit of Brexit? Well, it's a big one, but even they know not to flex it. You see, remaining would have meant more transparency on tax policy, weakening the ability for tax breaks for the oligarchy. Leaving the EU removed of all restraint, giving the parasitic government the freedom to shape the laws to appease their donors, So fuck you when you use the term Ramona. They say sovereignty, control, a nation reborn. But for them it's a feast, for us no rose, just the thorn. No watchdog, no referee, no one left to shout, just handshakes in back rooms while the rest of us go without. Patriotism shouldn't be hate for another. It should be hate for a flawed system that you should be willing to uncover. Think of what they've sold right under our noses. It should be common knowledge. It shouldn't take me to expose this. GB News, one of my favourite examples. Yes, titled GB. Owned by Dubai, what a shambles. Scottish Power, a Spanish subsidiary. Tetley Tea, Indian unfortunately. They've turned tax into theatre, economics into fiction, and sold us division to feed all our addictions. We point at each other while they hide the receipts. We let them dance on our backs, unknowing of all these defeats. So next time they say budget, remember this scam. It's not Brexit. It's not about who gets the damn. The rules, the limits, the checks, the shame. It's the same old story, just with a new name for the same old game. Thank you.
It's called Free. Is there any space left for those who don't want to put on a show? Ironic. Is there still chances to go where no one else goes? I yearn for a land that's untouched and pure, searching for the lesser, but I always want more. Peace is a virtue and solitude is a blessing, where I can go that there's nobody else messing. I want to scream without anyone hearing, I want to cry without shame or fearing. Don't we all want to be naked and free without shame? I can't be the only one that feels most myself when I don't have a name. Always travelling to get away from anyone knowing where I've come from and all my past trauma showing. To be autonomous and anonymous and mysterious. Somewhere we can witch out without anyone fearing us. Back to the earth and at home with the insects and birds. Where Mother Nature is the only thing that can be heard. When I die, bury me under a tall oak tree. So for the first time I can finally be the real me. I am power, I am light, but some seem to think less. My emotions glow and emit out of my chest. It blinds them and mirrors them and brings such unease. I'm forced to hide and I'm forced to retreat. Some aren't ready for realness and choose instead to play the game. Thinking what they see is real and that everything has a name. Forget what others say and listen to the voice within. That's your only true friend, in fact that's your closest kin. Your heart knows what's best for you, but we are taught to numb. Ignore all our feelings and deem ourselves dumb. The knowing is all there, you just have to listen. Free yourselves from these rules so we can truly glisten. I pray for a world where we can finally be ourselves and stop falling for the politics. Instead, speak to the elves. Look for the magic the world shows us every day. Remember that we were all born to just be this way. Focus on our strengths instead of what divides. I'm sure there'd be less hate and less suicides if we were all just honest about who we want to be and stood up to the bollocks of the powers that be. Free.
Have a lovely evening. Thank you so much for coming. Get home safe.
Thank you. Love you.
Livinshaw October 2025 was hosted and arranged by the team at Livinshaw. The next event is on Friday the 30th of January. This podcast was produced by Mint Sounds, the announcer was Johnny Robinson, and was produced and recorded at the Withamshaw Library Creative Space. Discover more at soundsmint.co.uk.